Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Judge Kaney and I are very pleased to have sitting with us as a visiting judge, Judge Pratt of the Southern District of Indiana.
Good morning.
Took the place of Judge Hamilton, who was appointed to our court recently, and we're very pleased to have her to help us with our cases. So our first case for argument is Chicago United versus City of Chicago. Mr. LaRose.
Your Honor. Counsel, may it please the court. My name is Mark LaRose, and I represent the plaintiffs, Chicago United Industries, I'll call it CUI for the purposes of argument, and the individual plaintiffs, Nick Massarella and George Loera. The evidence in this case was sufficient for a reasonable jury to find for the plaintiff on CUI's due process claim for de facto decertification, CUI's claim for breach of contract, CUI's First Amendment retaliation claim, and Loera and Massarella's occupational liberty claim. The district court erred in granting summary judgment on these claims. All of them should be decided by the jury. To address the due process.
Your picture of the economic position of CUI. So how large a company is this?
Seven employees, $10 to $20 million in sales annually, usually profits in the range of $500,000 to $1 million. And in the six-month period in question, they lost $5 million in gross income and $644,000 in net income. It basically almost
bankrupt. Only 7 to 10 employees?
There's less than that. At the time, in the period in question, there was only six employees. Two of them left the company because of the actions of the city and no business.
Is this why the city raised a question whether CUI was really a broker rather than a wholesaler?
I don't think it had anything to do with the number of employees. And the question is,
do you have a warehouse or?
Yes.
Is a warehouse?
Okay. Yes, sir. And the question of whether CUI was a broker has never even been addressed. They raised that 6 years ago and have never formally responded to our response to that, where CUI stated that it had a warehouse, that it finances these purchases, that it has insurance, that it has employees, that it has people that deliver things for them. Mm-hmm. This is a real and legitimate business, Your Honor. The fact that it has five employees and is able to do the volume of business that it does we don't manufacture anything. We distribute goods. Let's talk about the due process claim. CUI alleged and presented substantial evidence that from March to August of 2005, the city treated it as if its MBE certification did not exist. Didn't formally revoke it, hence the de facto decertification. The whole question of whether this case gets to the jury turns on whether CUI presented enough evidence that the city's actions rendered the MBE certification valueless, whether in fact it destroyed the value.
Counsel, how can you argue that Chicago United's business was actually rendered valueless if it continued to gross over $900,000 from target markets and contracts and MBA contracts during the four-month period after it received the notices of debarment and decertification?
That's exactly the flaw in the logic. The question exposes the flaw in the logic that the district court had. Sales of $900,000 can't be equated with value. They might have some correlation under some terms, but the only evidence in this case is that $900,000 in sales resulted in $5 million in gross loss of income and $644,000.
That's a little misleading. Wait, how does $900,000 in sales produce a loss of $5 million in sales?
Let me say it a different way. Despite $900,000 in sales over that six-month period, we still lost $5 million in income in 640.
Are you saying your sales fell from 6 million to 900,000?
Our sales fell from 11 million to 6 million. They fell $5.4 million over that period. The previous year and the year after that.
Well, no, wait, you're saying not in 4 months they didn't lose all.
In 4 months they lost $5.4 million. That was another kind of mistake that.
So the monthly sales revenue is normally about $1 million. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
And they dived to what?
900,000 over 6 months. So they dived to 900,000 divided by six.
150,000.
Correct. And that was the loss. So you really have to look at. I mean.
Okay, so you had a loss. It's not clear how that is. What exactly is the property that was taken?
The property that was taken was the MBE certification, and everything this company did related to its MBE certification.
The certification. They just didn't give you. That you got much less business in this four-month period than you usually get.
Well, not only that, not only do
some business with the city was just considerably less.
It was considerably less business, but the question becomes, during that six-month period, what was the value of its business? Well, the value of its business wasn't even zero. It was negative $644,000. That's the valueless part of it.
Instead of having sales of $1 million a month to the city, you had sales of $650,000. So
no, $150,000.
Pardon?
$150,000.
It went from $1 million to $150,000. Right.
$900,000. $939,000 divided by six.
Okay, that's fine. So, all right. So you had a big drop in purchases by the city. But why is that decertification? They're not committed to sell you any particular, I mean, to purchase any particular quantity from you. It must fluctuate.
They are committed to purchase the quantity that they need, and it was clear that they needed goods in this case. And that relates both
to. There are many of these minority business enterprises that they can buy from and do buy from, right?
Except they had the contract with us. These were contracts that we had.
It wasn't a contract. It didn't fix the an amount of money they had to purchase from.
It was a depends on requirements contract, but a publicly bid and publicly won contract nonetheless. If they had a requirement for a good, they had to spend it with us. We know they had requirements for sewer bricks, for example, and when they first extended the contract in writing under Mary Dempsey's signature, and then later, after this whole debacle of the sign blanks raised its ugly head, and all of that was false and nonsense, then they reneged on the renewal of the contract and the extension and went out and spent $58,000 more with another consumer to the detriment of the taxpayers to get something that they needed.
Breach of contract claim, this is a supplemental claim, isn't it?
The breach of contract claim is, but this...
You have to establish a federal claim. Well, you don't have to, but...
De facto decertification claim applies to that needing goods under the.
I understand your argument that there's a requirements contract that was broken. That's straightforward, but I'm puzzled about the federal claim. What is the property interest that was taken from?
Property interest is the MBE certification.
They didn't take the certification. They just didn't buy their, according to you, they didn't buy their full requirements.
But
why isn't that just a breach of contract?
Because that's not all they did. They told vendors who we had contracts with that they couldn't use us as an MBE. That's taking our MBE certification. They gave us no bids or no contracts in which we were the low bidder. That's taking our MBE certification. They said everything was on hold. They gave us no contract extensions.
Understand the difference between that and a breach of contract.
Because some of it is the same. some of the elements of the MBE decertification apply to the breach of contract. But everything this company did, its whole life relied on its MBE certification. Every bid that it made as an MBE, whether or not it was a subcontractor to somebody else, whether or not it was a target market contract, whether or not it was a prime contract in which they were able to use themselves as an MBE.
Are you saying that this $850,000 reduction in sales weren't just sales to the city, but they were sales to other buyers?
No, sir.
They're all
no,
city sales.
No, sir. It wasn't an $850,000 reduction.
It went from $1 million to $150,000.
Per month.
Per month, right. Okay, now, were those $850,000 in lost sales all lost sales to the city? Or?
And that's it, absolutely, and that's the only evidence of record. If you look at pages 2 and 3 of expert Horwich's report, which stands absolutely uncontradicted in this case, he says that the $644,000 net loss and the $5.4 million loss was attributable to the actions of the city that they took over this six-month period from March until August of 2005.
So was the city Chicago United's largest client, or their only
client?
The
city is 90% of Chicago United's business is with the city of Chicago. And that kind of dovetails into this whole idea of whether or not Loera and Massarella, when they got personally debarred, were denied their occupational liberty interest. The district court...
Deprived of their occupational liberty? I mean, they continued in business, it just was in diminished scale.
Well, no, when they were...
Also, it's a very narrow definition of an occupation to say that your occupation is selling to the city of Chicago. Occupation usually means, you know, you're a lawyer, you're a businessman, what have you.
But I'm a lawyer here in the Seventh Circuit in the city of Chicago. If I couldn't be one in the city of Chicago, does the law require me to move to California or Colorado or to another jurisdiction to practice my trade? This is what these gentlemen did. This is what they were good at. Every single nickel that the city spent with these gentlemen was spent because they won publicly put out bids as the lowest responsible bidder, and every single nickel the city spent with them, these gentlemen saved the city of Chicago and its taxpayers' money. That's what they did. That was their chosen profession. They shouldn't be required to go to Wisconsin.
What do you think the city, what did the city have again? What do you think the motive was for their...
I know what the motive was. In 2004, the CY won a contract for trash receptacles. That contract was rejected because they weren't the right guys. They complained about it. And an
they weren't the right guys. I don't get that.
They weren't connected, if you will, with the city of Chicago. The city wanted someone else to have that contract. That someone else was Urban Services. The CUI exposed that the city had been paying Urban Services when its president was dead millions of dollars for two years, and since then, right after that, they said, that's it, we're going to go after these guys as brokers. They went after us as brokers.
I mean, is that in the record?
It is not. You asked me what the motivation was, and I told you.
I'm not criticizing. I'm just curious.
It is not
part of your case, though.
Motivation is not in the record, but that's exactly what happened. The city paid dead guys for 2 years. These guys exposed it, and the city retaliated against them. First under the broker, and then this sign blank thing came down like manna from heaven. I could see that my...
You can say the rest of your time.
The sign blank came down like manna from heaven, and then they moved to debar them. What happened was, it's clear as a bell, and I think any jury would understand this, as soon as they moved to debar them, everybody from the city was told, don't do any business with these guys. They're gone. As soon as we get our paperwork together, they're gone. So for that six-month period, even though it was the city's rules not to do that, and to treat them as if it was business as usual, they ignored him. There was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
People were told not to do business with them. People were told that they had to replace them. Three times, Your Honors, they were found as a non-responsible bidder. with under Defendant Dempsey's signature, except she says she didn't make that decision. Someone else did. That someone else said, I didn't make that decision. So here we are with CUI as a non-responsible bidder on target market contracts in which it uses its MBE, and nobody knows who made the decision. I think.
You want to save some time for a little
I do want to save 3 minutes.
But your time is running.
Okay.
So why don't you? All right, go ahead.
Anyway, I'll be back in a few minutes for 3 minutes, but I think that there's sufficient evidence from which this case should be decided by the jury.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Morales.
You're welcome, Your Honor.
Mr. Norberg?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. This Court should affirm the entry of summary judgment for the City on all claims in CUI's complaint because they all fail as a matter of law or for lack of evidence, or in some cases, both. This morning, I'd like to concentrate on CUI's procedural due process claim and on the retaliation claim. We'll rest on our brief with regard to Loera and Massarella's.
Why is it you don't think this is a requirements contract?
Actually, these are requirements contracts that are involved.
So isn't there a breach of contract? They say that you didn't let them fill your requirements.
Well, they do say that, but unfortunately for them, there's no evidence whatsoever on the record showing that there were requirements that went unfulfilled. The record evidence shows that insufficient.
Why was there such a drastic reduction in purchases from CUI?
Well, to begin with, I have to say I don't know the exact answer to why, but I don't think I think it's established under Illinois law that the mere fact that there's a reduction from year to year.
No, but if it's a requirements contract, then presumably the sales would drop if the requirements dropped. But if the requirements didn't drop and the sales dropped, then you have a potential breach, don't you?
Absolutely. But there would need
requirements drop by 85%, according to him?
Well, to begin with, I'm not certain exactly where counsel gets this six-month number and the comparison of all these numbers. None of this is borne out in the record, and to be honest with you, it's the first sort of explication in that sense that I've heard from the other side. The expert's report does not...
It does mention the $5,400,000 drop in... Mm-hmm. Total revenues?
It does. It's very vague as to exactly. If you look at the expert's report, as counsel pointed to you, pages 2 and 3, it's very vague as to what the time period is exactly, what exactly is being discussed there with regard to the revenue.
March to August 2005. You say that's not in the record? Or?
It's not clear in the record, and there's no evidence that has been pointed to by CUI at any point.
I take it there was actually a reduction in sales to the city, and wouldn't that have to be because of a reduction in requirements?
Yes, absolutely.
Is there evidence concerning the requirements?
There is, but very little and absolutely no evidence, Judge Posner, that shows that there was, that the requirements between 2004 and 2005 remain the same. Now, there is evidence that there was it is absolutely clear that there was a reduction in orders. But in order to prove a breach of contract claim with regard to any of the discrete contracts, CUI needed to adduce evidence that the city needed goods under the particular contract and yet failed to order them in bad faith from CUI because they, for some reason, wanted to stick it to CUI. And there's simply no evidence of that. In fact, even the scant evidence they point to is misleading. They point to Mr. Wolf's testimony with regard to certain types of goods that were needed. But the testimony actually shows that he said, I didn't need anything that was under contract to CUI at the time. That's on page 25 of his deposition, which they cite for essentially the exact opposite proposition. Now, that what they're saying, what they argue, and they're very careful to say it this way, is that Wolf said, I generally would have been ordering these type of things from CUI. And that may be true. But the fact is, without proof that the city and the various departments that contract with CUI needed this materials, you can't determine that there was a requirement that went unfulfilled, much less that the requirement unfulfilled in bad faith. So they did not come close to proving these breach of contract claims. And to bring that back around to the question that Your Honor noted with regard to the federal claim that is sort of intertwined with these breach of contract claims, even were they able to establish some breaches of contract or some reduction of orders, that would not be sufficient to establish a due process claim premised on the deprivation of their MBE certification, which is their headlining claim.
Well, in your brief, you claim that to date, the city has not acted on CUI's proposed decertification. The corporation remains certified as an MBE.
That's absolutely right. They remain certified as an MBE, and that is a matter of public record. So their certification has absolutely not been officially revoked, and their claim that they have a de facto.
If it's not officially revoked, what's the unofficial status?
There's no cognizable unofficial status of the MBE. They either have it or they don't. Their argument is that in the spirit of this case, this court's Reed decision, that the city could have de facto decertified them.
Well, I think Mr. LaRose said that the city told people that CUI was no longer a minority business enterprise.
There were four different companies involved in that aspect of the record. CUI's argument is that the city represented to these companies that it was not certified and therefore took away a portion of the value of its MBE by doing so. Now, the facts show that their claim is overstated because one of the companies clearly, and it's not disputed, chose not to use CUI as an MBE because of the pricing that CUI was offering and decided to go with another company. That was the Scrub Company. Another one of the companies never replaced CUI as an MBE despite allegedly receiving this incorrect information. And of the other two companies, there were three contracts involved, and CUI was replaced by those companies on two of the contracts. So absolutely we concede that the record shows that, although as we pointed out in our brief, they would need ultimately to prove that there was an intent here, that there was an intentional act to establish their due process claim.
Well, counsel, Loreo alleges that he sent at least 12 letters to Mary Dempsey and the city regarding issues to their bids and contracts and never received a response. Mm-hmm. Why didn't the city respond to the inquiries?
It's not exactly clear from the record exactly why those responses were not sent. It's also not clear, absolutely not clear, that there's anything unusual or unprecedented about a lag in responding to those type of inquiries.
Well, then in your brief on pages 31 and 32, you contend that Dempsey is not the final policymaker when it relates to decertification proceedings due to the Chicago City Council's constraint on her policymaking authority. Explain how that regulation would curtail Dempsey's authority in light of the fact that Dempsey was the sole agent of the municipality in contracting.
Well, if you look at the case law of this court with regard to policymaker, there are the two principal cases are the Oriema case and the more recent Vodak case. And those are consistent with the principle that if the legislative body of the municipality, here the city council, sets standards, makes a decision, as it did here when it said we are going to require or we will require due process or procedures comporting with due process in the event that someone is going to be decertified as an MBE, that legislative decision is the policy of the city. And that even if...
It doesn't make any sense. You've got this fellow who makes the decision, right? It's not reviewed by the city council. This makes it.
Makes the decision to decertify?
Right. And then who do you appeal to?
Well, in the event, I think that it's somewhat confusing in this case, Judge Posner, because their claim is not that there was an actual decision made by Dempsey to decertify them officially. That Dempsey said...
They say it's de facto, which is good enough. So they say this fellow Dempsey decertified them as a practical matter by bad-mouthing them and so on. And he's the final, and he's the person who does it. Who is above him? I mean,
well,
is this a Peratt versus Taylor issue where they had some state law procedures that they should have exhausted?
I think that what...
Acting in an arbitrary fashion?
I think that when the power that Ms. Dempsey, Mary Dempsey, had was to do any, I mean, to put in place procedures that were consistent with City Council's determination.
Well, she's going around and bad-mouthing CUI, and as a result, it has, let's say it has the effect of decertifying it, although it's not an official decertification, then why wouldn't conduct like that be actionable?
Well, I think that it conceivably could be actionable, but I think that it wouldn't be attributable to the city, because consistent with what this court said in Vodak and in Oriema, if the city council has enacted an ordinance that constrains the decision of a...
I don't understand you. If no one is paying any attention to the ordinance, what difference does it make?
Well, it may not make...
No one pays the attention. The mayor doesn't pay attention. Nobody pays attention. So all these people get immunity from federal suits because there's some ordinance?
Well, no, absolutely not. I mean, there's no issue of...
All right, so suppose Dempsey is the only person who deals with these MBA certifications, and he's effectively decertified CUI. Why isn't that the action of the city?
Because under the principles announced in Oriema and in Vodak.
Citing those cases, but I'd like a sensible answer, right? You've got these officials, they're laws unto themselves, there's no one to appeal to above them, so why doesn't that make them the city?
Because the city, acting through the city council, made a considered decision to require procedures.
What difference does it make if no one pays attention to the decision?
Consistent with Monell and the...
Forget it, honestly. What sense does it make to have a situation which executive officials in a city or other polity can do anything they want, and there's no appeal from them? So what difference does it make that they're violating the law? You say the fact they're violating the law immunizes them? That's your argument.
No, it absolutely isn't. It absolutely is.
You keep talking about this ordinance, which apparently Dempsey doesn't pay any attention to.
Well, it may immunize, in a sense, the city in terms of liability. It's a question, Judge Posner. We would submit where the liability lies.
You're the people running the city... Take away this person's property right, let's assume, and that's not considered the action of the city because there's some ordinance. Look at that.
Well, this is not a question of saying there's...
Logic? Is there some logic to it? Why you'd want to immunize the city in a situation where its executive officials were busy violating people's rights?
My understanding of it, if I may, is that it's a question of where the liability would lie. And the liability could lie in a case like this with Ms. Dempsey. She could be liable herself.
Why not
for violating
the city? If she's the executive official who makes these decisions and there's no one above her.
Well, I think that consistent with this court's
You give me a sensible answer, not citing cases. Maybe there are cases that support you that don't make any sense, right? Is that what you want to say? You have no idea why there's this rule. It's just in cases. Is that what you want to say?
No, I think there are good reasons for the rule, and I think the reason for the rule is that the city, given the fact that there's no respondeat superior liability, and that is established whether it's been criticized, accepted or not, that the city has to have a way and has to have the ability to make a decision to require its employees to act in certain ways. And in this case, and in Oriema, the city council made a specific decision, enacted a specific ordinance saying these are the expectations and the requirements we are placing on our employees, including the highest level of the employees. And in the event that somebody acts in the face of that, an individual acts in the face of that, that is thwarting or frustrating the policy rather than fulfilling the policy of the city.
What is the remedy you have under state law against, or that they, that CUI would have against Dempsey?
Against Dempsey with regard to the...
If Dempsey effectively destroys their MBA status, what can they do under state law?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think as we discuss in our brief and as the district court very exhaustively went through and looked at each of the elements of their de facto decertification claim and set and explained how each one of them individually had a state law remedy, had some sort of state law, something they could do under state law in order to.
So are you making a Pratt versus Taylor argument that this is unauthorized action by state officers, and there's no denial of due process until the state fails to rectify it? Is that your argument?
That's an element of our argument, and also partially we're invoking the Lujan decision in the Supreme Court that, as a preliminary matter, the due process clause does not cover or does not come into play when there are economic interests protected under contract that can be vindicated through state law procedures. And I see I'm out of time, so I'll just ask the court to affirm the judgment of the district court. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Norberg.
Thank you,
Mr.
Counsel.
LaRose, how much time does he have? 1 minute?
I'm shocked to hear that this is some allegation that they told, only an allegation that they told four companies that they couldn't use us as an MBE. That's uncontradicted evidence. It's in their Rule 56.1 statement admitted that they told Standard Equipment, Standard Truck, Air One, and Midwest Service Center in July of 2005, while we were under, you know, the department proceedings, that they couldn't use us as an MBE. Second point. No evidence of bad faith in the reduction? Nonsense. Tom Wolfe testified that he needed brass and copper parts, wanted to order them from CUI under an existing contract, and was told that he could not do so. Claude Humphrey worked for the Department of Procurement Services for 20 years, was told by the city he could not order from CUI because it was going to be decertified. The city completely stopped orders on 26 contracts for essential things. One of them was dog food. They didn't get rid of the police dogs. The dogs didn't stop eating. Where did the dog food contract go? And we know that they needed sewer bricks, $58,000 worth more than they would have spent with CUI. They did that just to avoid doing business with CUI. In closing, we're not asking for a Super Bowl victory here. We're asking for what we wanted right from the beginning, a jury trial. And I think that's what we're entitled to. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much, Mr. LaRose and Mr. Norberg. We'll move on to our next case.